So now we go back to the chapter number 6, stanza number 22, and now we discuss the points of looking at the nature of the things, you know, looking at how the things are, also that we need to, you know, practice patience. The stanza number 22 says, I am not angry with my bile and other humors, fertile source of suffering and pain. So why should living beings give offense? They likewise are impaled by circumstances. So, when you say that, I am angry or I hate, not because, you know, they are kind of circumstances, you know, not because, not just it brings suffering, but the people who are, you know, who are beings who have the consciousness, they intend to harm me. They wanted to harm me. They have this bad intention, and therefore, you know, I am angry with them. If I say that, and then. If I am not angry with, like, my bile and other humors that makes me sick and bring suffering, then and that, you know, and all this kind of sufferings and problems, pain they bring, but these people are trying, you know, really want to harm me, and they're offensive, so therefore I'm angry. Then we have to understand that it's not like that. Even people who are trying to harm me or try to do something wrong, prevent, you know, what all the things that we discussed before, or they are, you know, saying or doing bad things, they are also, you know, they are also created by circumstances. It's not that they are born with this intention to harm me or make me unhappy or bring suffering to me. It's not that, you know. Some of my big, very good friends can sometimes become my, you know, my problems. So therefore, it's not that they are not like that from the right from the beginning. They are also created by circumstances. Out of, they have no, you know, they, how the things happened. Sometimes these people themselves have no control over these circumstances. So they are like same thing, like whatever. You know, if I fall down and hurt myself, then I can't be angry at anybody. So in the same way, you know, even people who do harm me and things like that, you cannot totally, you know, say that they are the only bad one, because they are not necessarily bad, but they have been, you know, in that circumstances, all the circumstances and, you know, causes and conditions are created so that they were compelled to do what they did. So therefore it's created by conditions. So therefore it's the same thing, like inanimate things causing me trouble. So therefore there's no really good reason to get angry with them, because they are impelled by circumstances. 23, although they are unlooked for, undesired, these ills affect us all the same. and likewise, though unwanted and unsought, defilements nonetheless insistently arise. So there have been, you know, we don't want negative things, but negative things happen. We don't want to be sick, but sometimes we get sick by doing something that usually is meant to help. Say, like, I eat food, and then I need to eat food to sustain my livelihood, living my life. But then, if I would eat something wrong, or if I eat too much, or something like that, I can get sick. Not intentionally, but because of the circumstances. So in the same way, you know, people, they have no pre-planned kind of intention to harm me or do something bad to me. But, you know, for instance, their negative emotions is also, they have not planned to have negative emotions. It happens because of certain situations and certain conditions. So therefore, you know, these defilements and negative emotions are also coming out of the arise, you know, with causes and conditions, and not intentionally kind of created to harm me. And never thinking, now I will be angry. People are impulsively caught up in anger. Irritation likewise comes, though never plans to be experienced. So, you know, they don't come to, you know, to be with you or to meet you or to be around you thinking that now I'm going to really, you know, I'm going to come and meet this person and then I'm going to get angry and then I'm going to harm him and then I'm going to be his enemy and try to do everything wrong for him. Nobody comes like that. If you meet people out of all different causes and conditions, we meet them. And sometimes we become good friends, we help each other, with very good relationship. Sometimes, you know, certain things turn up and then, you know, the relationships get bad and then we become enemies and then we harm each other. You know, so it's not, there's nothing pre-planned. Everything happens because of causes and conditions. And these causes and conditions, we need to learn how to change or how not to let them deteriorate, or, you know, because everything has, you know, has to be two sides, like, more or less, you know, like you cannot clap with one hand. So therefore, you know, I have some, maybe I don't have all the conditions and causes of power, but I have a little bit to change that situation. I have some elements can be in my hands also to create that situation that it doesn't happen negatively. But if not, at least I have to see that, you know, I'm not reacting in a very bad way so that it becomes even worse. So these are the important things to understand. All defilements of whatever kind, the whole variety of evil deeds, are brought about by circumstances. None is independent, none autonomous. So it's like that. All the defilements or glaciers or negative emotions, they all come dependently, interdependently, conditions, because of this kind of circumstances and situations. And because of that emotions, then all the negative actions, you know, like stealing, killing, all sorts of negative actions that I do also comes interdependently and with their own kind of negative conditions and coming up circumstances. And because of that, then I accumulate negative karma, and that will bring lots of pain and suffering and problems for me and others. All these things are not independently, but dependently coming, interdependently coming. They are not independent, they are not autonomous, they are interdependently coming. So this is very, very important to understand. So therefore actually nobody is acting, you know, kind of totally like with this pre-planned intention. Not that they have completely like pre-planned intention. The circumstances creates these things. The 26th stanza, conditions once assembled have no thought that they will now give rise to some result, nor does that which is engendered think that it has been produced. So in the same way, you know, conditions once come together that then have no thought that, you know, that they will now give rise to some result. You know, the conditions, the causes and conditions are causes and conditions, you know. So when these causes and conditions come together, then that result just appears. It's not that each of these causes and conditions have an intention that I want to produce this, I want to make this, not necessarily. And then the causes and conditions, the result that is engendered also doesn't have necessarily the idea that I am a product of that causes and conditions, so this is my mission or something like that. There's nothing like that. These are coming from certain the philosophical, is kind of a little bit answer to some philosophical ideas, which I don't think we need to discuss this too much, because I don't think we have this kind of philosophical, like for instance, whatever, if somebody, if somebody says that no, you know, it's nothing is, if it's not that everything is just happening because of causes and conditions, that happens interdependently, but there is not one cause that somebody like a creator intentionally created in this way, so that, you know, it's like that, so that it happens like that. So, you know, there is a pre-planned thing right from the beginning. If you say like that, it is not like that. That's the understanding from the Buddhist point of view. Because the things, you know, if I am no need to discuss too much on this. The primal substance, as they say, and that which has been called the self, do not arise designedly, and do not think I will become. The primal substance, you know this. The primal substance. Some philosophies have this primal substance. There is a kind of primal substance, or there is a kind of a atma, or something, self, that is always there. That's the kind of preconditioned for all the things to happen and things like that. But they do not arise designedly. I will become like this, you know, I will do this to harm this person, I will become enemy of this person, I will become friend of this person, I'm supposed to, you know, do some obstacle to this person. It doesn't come like that. You know. There's maybe, if there is a soul, if there is a kind of, if even if the, you know, the God is created, if there is a creator and everybody is created, and the God is not created only, you know, that that so that I have this enemy and this enemy is going to harm me and I have to be angry with this. And there's nothing like that. These things happen afterwards. These things happen due to different conditions. For that which is not born does not exist. So what could want? So what could want to come to be? Because, you know, if you say that the cause was there right from the beginning, like the intention to kind of harm somebody or become my enemy is already there, even before this person happened, then this person cannot have the intention to harm because this person is not there. So when this person is not there, how can there be intention to harm this? So therefore, you know, for that which is not born, cannot think or does not exist. Not born does not exist. So what could want? So what is it? Something that is not existing cannot think that I would harm that person. So therefore there can't be a pre-planned thing. I don't know whether you understand this logic, but there cannot be something pre-planned too much because, you know, before that has happened, there can't be an intention. And before something that is there, there cannot be intention for that. And permanently drawn towards its object, it can never cease from being so. But if that is the case, if there is something like, if there is an intentional thing, and if there is a kind of a pre-planned thing, specially created to do that, if somebody is specially created to harm me, or then this person would have nothing else to do but harm me. But that harming me would be, you can never change it. You can. This person has to be always like that because there is no, you know, is kind of created for that. But this is not how we see. This is not what happens. The things always can change, and then one person is living by his own, you know, causes and conditions. It's not just there to harm me. So therefore, you know, if we think that this person is only there to harm me, that's not possible. Indeed, this self, if permanent, is certainly inert like space itself. And should it meet with other factors, how could they affect it, since it's unchanging? So then, you know, if it is something really from the beginning there like that, then and the self is permanent. And now, this is maybe, you know, these kind of things we will discuss later in chapter 9 and things like that. But if the self, or if there is something that is permanent, this is the Buddhist logic, that if it is something permanent, then it cannot change. It is like space. The space is permanent because there is nothing there. So therefore it is permanent. If there is nothing there, that can be permanent, because there is nothing. So that nothingness cannot change. But if it's something can change, then it's not permanent because it changes. So therefore you cannot say something that is changing permanent. If it's permanent, then nothing can affect it, and it can affect nothing. they cannot be chemistry, they cannot cause an effect, they cannot, it cannot produce anything, it cannot have any action or reaction or, you know, activities. Because if there is activities, if there is reactions, if there is effects, if it can do something or can become something, then it cannot be permanent. So this is the Buddhist logic. So is certain mere the space itself, and should it meet with other factors, how could they affect it, since it is unchanging? But if you say that, well, it is permanent on its own, but it can have other factors. But then other factors, if there's other factors, then it is not impermanent, it is changing, because there are factors, the factors are changing. So this is philosophically wrong, wrong, that's understanding, Buddhist understanding. So this is stanza number 30. If when conditions act on it, it stays just as it was before, what influence have these conditions had? They said that these are agents of the self, but what connection could there be between them? So this is the same thing, you know, if when conditions act on it, the condition, even if there are conditions, and then that these conditions cannot change the something that is permanent. So the permanent has to remain as it was before without changing anything, even if there are conditions. And so therefore these conditions cannot have any influence on it if it is permanent. But they said that these are the agents of the self. And what connection could there be? So there cannot be a changing phenomena, or the conditions that are changing, it cannot have anything to do with something unchanging and totally permanent. There is no connection, because the changing thing cannot affect the unchanging thing, and unchanging thing cannot affect the changing thing, because changing thing cannot be affected and cannot affect. Otherwise it is changing itself, so therefore you have a relationship. If there is two things which is one totally unchanging and one totally changing, then there cannot be a relationship with them. This is the kind of logic. So therefore, there is nothing which is totally unchanging and permanent. So everything is conditional. All things, 31, all things then depend on other things. Everything that happens in the phenomena, in the world, in the cosmos, is because of interdependence, the dependent arise and depend on other things. And these likewise depend, they are not independent. So then there's nothing independent, they are always dependent on something, and made because of causes and conditions and, you know, circumstances. Knowing these, you will not be annoyed at things that are like magical appearances. So therefore, there's nothing really, because it's all conditionally, independently and interdependently arising. So there's nobody who is totally like doing it only through pre-planned intention to do something that's bad somebody or something like that. So everything is a little bit like magical, illusory, because, you know, when things are created by, you know, dependently and conditionally, there's nothing existing on its own. So therefore, what is there that you need to be angry or upset with? What is there that in you that would be, you know, kind of consistently upset and angry and, you know, things like that? So everything is conditional, everything is changing, everything is moving, everything is dependent, everything is emptiness, everything is illusory, everything is magical. So, you know, if you understand this, there's nothing to be too much affected. Resistance, you may say, is out of place, for what will be opposed by them? So in that case, then You cannot even, you know, practice patience, he says. The patience, by practicing patience, you cannot get rid of anger and, you know, hatred and things like that, because the resisting is not possible. It's all conditional. And if you say that, the stream of sorrow is cut through by patience. There's nothing out of place in our assertion. But because everything is magical, everything is conditional, so therefore, when I feel, you know, anger, then if I understand the circumstances and the way the things are, then you know, I don't need to feel anger and hatred like that, because that reaction is, of course, a conditional reaction, but that was a wrong way of reacting. So therefore, when I understand that, and then really understand and learn how to, then I can change that reaction. So therefore, there's nothing wrong with that. It is not that I'm not, there's nothing kind of impossibility of that, that if I can understand the situation, if I can, you know, see this through, then the way I react would be different. Thus, when enemies or friends are seen to act improperly, remain serene and call to mind that everything arises from conditions. So this is the kind of the instruction at the end, and this stanza number 33. When enemies or friends are seen to act in an improper way, then you know that that's not the time you to become angry and upset and hateful, but remain serene, and then you kind of call to mind or remember that everything arises from conditions. Everything is arising from conditions. So, if you can change the condition, then the things will be different. And if you cannot change the outside conditions, you can change inner conditions. And so therefore your way of seeing things, your way of reacting, you understand that this all interdependent arising. It's not there. They are not totally kind of in charge of their emotions also, and things like that, and all different kind of circumstances. There's a series of causes and effects to anything that's happening. So therefore, there's no one is solely or, you know, independently responsible for anything that happens, because it's created by so many causes and conditions. So when you see this, then you cannot be totally, you know, angry and upset and, you know, really hateful on one person. So this is the understanding. So 33, stanza number 33, we stop there.